Happy Mother's Day to all our moms. I'm so grateful to God for you and for the investment that you have made and are making in your kids. And so I hope you feel honored today. As we begin our time together, I want to invite you to pray with me. Let's pray. Father God, thanks so much for today. Thank you for sustaining us. Thank you for pouring your joy and hope into our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word and to hear from you. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and guide today. I pray that you would open our eyes and help us to see. Lord, I pray that you would open our ears, help us to hear. And I pray that you would soften our hearts and help us to receive from you what you have for us today. God, we love you. We thank you so much that you've loved us first. We pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. FOMO, the fear of missing out. Perhaps you've suffered from it. Maybe you suffer from it right now. I imagine that many of you have experienced over the last 8 weeks the reality of missing out. I know some students were looking forward to graduating elementary school and heading off into middle school. I know some of our middle school students were excited about graduating from middle school and heading off into high school. I know some of our high school students were really looking forward to graduating from high school, celebrating and heading off to college. I realized just recently that my 8-year-old daughter was kind of bummed because she was excited about graduating from second grade and moving on to third grade. I guess they do this big parade. It's kind of a big deal. Who would have thunk it? Listen, I don't want to sound old, but when I was a kid, we did not have a parade when we graduated from second grade until third grade. I don't even think we called it that. We just were moving on to the next grade. Sweetie, I want you to know I love you and I'm proud of you. And if you want, I'll put on a parade for you every single day. The fear of missing out. Maybe you are a parent and you fear a season of life that you missed out on with your kids. Maybe you're a mom today and you're hearing this and you are lamenting a time long ago where you wanted to capture that moment or that season in a bottle so you could relive it time and time again. But it seems like you've missed out. I think all of us, if we were honest with ourselves, would admit that there was a time in life where we feared missing out on something very important. Well, today I want to share with you three practical ways on how you can miss out on God. I want to share with you three ways that you can live your life pursuing God or thinking that you're pursuing God and yet completely missing out on God. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul tells us how to do this in Philippians chapter 3. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. Paul writes to the church at Philippi and says, "Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason to put confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Paul begins or continues this letter to the church at Philippi as he writes from prison and says, "Look out for the dogs. For those of you who may be a dog lover, the perception of a dog during the day when Paul wrote is not the same perception that we have of our dogs. We love our dogs. We care for our dogs. We talk to our dogs like our dogs are a child. They're not, but that's neither here nor there. Back then, dogs were seen as scavengers. Dogs were not well received. They were not household pets. They weren't cute and cuddly. People did not take selfies with their dogs or talk to them like they were a young child. Dogs were seen as nasty. They were seen as unclean. They were seen as scavengers. As a matter of fact, the Jews oftentimes referred to the Gentiles as dogs, as scavengers. And Paul says here, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out, in essence, for those who mutilate the flesh. Paul was warning the church to look out for those people who, in essence, believe that they could perform an act to their flesh that would make them right before God. They were referred to during the times of Scripture as Judaizers. Judaizers believe that that you could, in essence, come to Christ, but you still needed to adopt the Old Testament ways or the Old Testament law in order to be made right with God. It's actually spoken of in Acts chapter 15, verse 1, where we read about these folks who were saying, unless you are circumcised according to the custom prescribed by Moses, you cannot be saved. So unless there's this outside act that's done to you, you can't be right with God. And so Paul's going to warn the church, in essence, saying to them, listen, you can't add anything to the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus, faith in Jesus, that Jesus, fully God and fully man, has come to this earth, lived a perfect life, and died a sinner's death to bring us to God. But you can't add anything to that message. It's not an add one kind of message. It's a standalone message. One of the things that I love doing with my boys is playing basketball in the driveway. And my boys are getting to the age where they're good enough where they can beat their old man. As a matter of fact, it's getting to the point where it's not all that close. My oldest son, Cademan in particular, loves playing one-on-one. And when he's playing one-on-one against his dad, he'll show off his moves and he'll use his quickness oftentimes to drive by me. Well, there was a time when I could box him out. There was a time when I could use my weight to keep him away from the basket. But more and more, those days are gone. And so I need to revert to another way of preventing Cademan from beating me. And it finally occurred to me, I know, I'll just foul him. Like, I'll use my brute strength to make it impossible for him to score a basket. And so oftentimes he'll drive the lane and he'll go to shoot a layup and I will foul him as hard as I possibly can. And yet he'll still throw the ball up. And whether it's close or not is insignificant. He'll just shout these words, "And one," because he assumes that he's going to make it. And he wants the world to know that I also fouled him, which means he gets the bucket if it goes in, and one, and an extra foul shot. Well, many times we can look at the gospel as an and one proposition. We want to take the good news of Jesus that we can have a relationship with God in Christ alone because of Christ alone, and we want to add to it. We want to add our works or our good behavior or a little something here or a little something there. And Paul's writing to the church and saying to them, you know, you can't add anything to the good news of the gospel. In fact, if you add anything to the good news, it ceases being good news. And so Paul writes to the church and he warns them, look out for anyone who adds to the gospel. Church, look out for anyone who adds anything to the good news of the gospel. And then Paul is going to paint a picture for the church, and he paints a picture for you and for me of what it looks like to live a life of faith to or in the Lord. He writes in verse 3, "For we are the circumcision." And so he's saying those who have been circumcised, who think they have a right relationship with God because of their act, I have news for you. We are actually the circumcised. We are the true church, Paul says. And then he paints this picture of how we are to operate in our relationship with God. He says, we worship by the Spirit of God, and we glory in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. Paul lists three things or three ways of life that marks the life of the Christian. I want us to think about the opposite of those as ways of missing out on God. The first way that we can miss out on God is that we can gut and grind our way to God. We can gut and grind our way to God. And what I mean by that is that we live our lives serving God and worshiping God by sheer effort. Human will. We dedicate ourselves to God again and again and again by brute force. When we fail, we just think to ourselves, we're going to try harder to be better and to do more. We're going to work our way to God. We're going to pretend that every day is December 31st, and the next day, January 1st, is a new start and a fresh start in a way for us to recommit ourselves to finally get our act together. But it's not empowered or powered by the Spirit of God. It's powered by self. We just think that we need to be more disciplined, that we need to try harder, and we need to do more. Paul writes in essence and says that's not the way that the Christian life works. He says we are ones who worship by the Spirit of God. If you are a believer in Jesus, then God, upon faith in Christ, has sealed you with His Spirit, and the Spirit gives you and me power to serve God. Romans 8, verse 9 says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you do not have Christ. But if you have Christ, you have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, then you can worship, or the word here too could be translated serve, then you can serve God in the power that God gives to you and me. I read this and I go, okay, what does that look like, to serve or to worship in the Spirit? I think in part it looks like us acknowledging that our life is not a self-improvement project. It's not us efforting our way to God. It's us humbly coming before the Lord and saying, God, if you don't change me, and if you don't empower me, if you don't help me to see what I know to be true from your word, then I am without hope. And so we invite the Holy Spirit to empower us as we serve God. Hey, listen, if you want to miss out on God, then spend your days gutting and grinding your way to God. The second way to miss out on God is to celebrate self. You want to miss out on God? Then celebrate self. Make you the point of the story. Talk about how you finally figured everything out. Share your story in such a way where you finally wised up to the good news of the gospel. Talk about how strong you were, or how committed you were, or how resolute you were in getting to God. Discuss your spiritual resume as a way of validating your spiritual maturity. This, of course, what I just described, is the exact opposite of what Paul describes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. He talks not about boasting in self or in your story. He talks about boasting in Jesus Christ. Our glory is in Christ alone. Paul famously said in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 14, "But as for me, I will never boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world." Paul spent his days pointing other people to Jesus, boasting in the cross, talking about the good work that Jesus did on the cross. This is one of the reasons why we as a church talk often about pointing people to Jesus. We want to boast in Jesus. We want to talk about what Jesus has done, what he is doing, and what he will do in the days ahead. We want to boast in the cross of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, "The one who boasts must boast in Christ," right? In the cross of Christ. Can I ask you a question? Whom do you boast in? Who is the hero of your story? Is it anyone other than Jesus? When you tell your story, do you talk about how God saved you, how God opened your eyes, how God chased after you, how God breathed spiritual life into you? When Paul told his story, he oftentimes painted himself in less than glowing terms and talked about the beauty of God's work in his life. Listen to how Paul tells your story and my story and his story in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Listen to the hero of this story. He says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Right, that's your story, and that's my story. But then listen to what God has done. "But God," those are beautiful words, "but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved." But God. But if you want to miss out on God, if you want to miss out on God, then spend your days celebrating self. Talk about your accomplishments and all you've done for the Lord, and leave God out of the picture. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, "For we are the circumcision." We are the true children of God who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Step 3, if you want to spend your life missing out on God, then you make your trophies your treasure. You boast in your accomplishments. He says, make your trophies your treasures if you want to miss out on Christ. Put confidence in your conduct, in your mind. Pick and choose the very best of what you have done and what you have accomplished, and gather them together for your spiritual resume. Be quick to celebrate all that you have done. If you want to miss out on God, then celebrate self. Put confidence in your conduct, and make your trophies your treasure. Paul goes on to say, hey, listen, if anyone has opportunity to boast in their spiritual accomplishments, I do. Listen to what he says in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 3. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul, in essence, does one of these things. He's like, listen, you want to talk about an impressive spiritual resume? Paul says, before Jesus, I was killing it. Like, no one on the planet could compare with me. Anything you can do, I did better. You can't compare with me, whether it's ritual or ethnicity or rank or rule keeping or tradition or zeal or obedience to the law. Paul says, I was killing it. You want to put confidence in your ritual? Paul says, oh, look at me. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I didn't come to the party late. I did what I was supposed to do when I was supposed to do it. You want to put confidence in your ethnicity? Paul says, I was of the nation of Israel. You check out my family tree and I trace it back to Father Abraham. You want to put confidence in your rank? Man, I was from the tribe of Benjamin. You look at the 12 tribes and like the city of Jerusalem, the holy city, was in the Benjamin territory. I was from the right people. I was from the right place. You want to put your confidence in tradition? I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Like I hung on to all those family traditions that were so important for everyone. You want to put your confidence in rule keeping? I was a Pharisee. You can't out rule keep me, right? I would raise the bar on you. I would dunk in your spiritual faith. You can't compare with me, Paul says. As to zeal, man, I was a persecutor of the church. You think you have more zeal than me? You think you have more passion than me? I had more. I had more buy-in than you'll ever have. You want to put confidence in obedience to the law? Man, as to righteousness, I was blameless. I was blameless. Man, if there was a spiritual headhunter out there and my resume came across his desk, like, sorry, everyone else on the planet, you wouldn't get the job. You can't compete with me. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh more, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence, I have more. And if Paul had a microphone right now, right, he would drop the mic. Paul is saying, before Jesus, I had every right to brag and to boast in my spiritual resume. No one could compare. But I want you to listen. I want you to listen to how Paul sees all of his spiritual accomplishments apart from Christ. Listen to how he describes it in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. I read this and I think to myself, God, I want that kind of perspective in my own spiritual life. Paul says, whatever I had in the spiritual gain category is now in the spiritual loss category. Whatever was to my credit is now
a debit, everything that I could boast in now, he literally says is crap. He says everything that I've accomplished apart from Christ, everything that I've boasted in, everything that I've hung my hat on, every area in life that I could look to as a source of pride is trash. But he uses the word rubbish. It is, man, it's like the closest you could get to a Christian cuss word. He's like, all of that is garbage. None of that means anything to me in comparison to knowing Christ and to gaining Christ. I've suffered the loss of all things, Paul says, and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul uses this heavenly arithmetic where he says, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Everything minus Jesus, everything, the world minus Jesus equals nothing. Paul says nothing compares. Nothing compares. For us, that means anything that we could experience here and now, anything that we could boast in is a source of spiritual pride compared to Jesus. Well, it doesn't compare. It doesn't compare. Paul, in essence, says you can have the world. You can have the world, but give me Jesus. Man, give me Jesus. Like health, like riches, security, safety, reputation, mobility, working your way up the corporate ladder, having awesome kids. Like whatever you would put in that category is the means of boasting, Paul says, it does not compare. Give me Jesus. Have the world and give me Jesus. And so that's my prayer. And that's my prayer for me, and that's my prayer for you, is that we would have the kind of mindset and heart that says, God, just give me Jesus. Because I got to tell you, there's times in life when I want a lot of other things other than Jesus. So what does it look like for us, for you, and for me to get Jesus? What does that look like? And how does it happen? Well, next week, we are going to talk about it. We're going to walk through together this picture that Paul paints on how to get Jesus. But listen, if you want to miss out on him, if you want to spend your life pursuing spiritual things but miss out on God, then spend your days working your way to God. Spend your life celebrating your story and your accomplishments, and make your trophies your treasure. My prayer for you and for me is that we would not miss out, but that we would gain Christ. Would you pray with me and ask God to make it so? Let's pray together. Lord, I want what Paul pursued, a life in pursuit of knowing Jesus, not simply intellectually or only intellectually, but relationally. This was life to Paul, to know Jesus. This was eternal life, as John says, to know you. And so I pray for each and every person that hears my voice, that would be their pursuit, that they would spend their days knowing you. God, would you pour faith into their hearts? Would you show them, show us the beauty of your son, Jesus? Would you help us to live lives empowered by the Spirit, worshiping and serving you in the Spirit, boasting in Jesus, celebrating the work that you have done in us. God, we are thankful for the life that you have given to us. We praise your name today. We ask these things in Jesus' name and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Christ Point, again, want to wish a happy Mother's Day to our moms. I hope that you feel honored and loved today. If you are listening to this message today and you would like someone to pray for you, or if you have questions about the Christian faith, if there are things in your life that you're wrestling through or you're looking for answers for, then I want to invite you to email info@christpoint.com, info@christpoint.com. Someone will be in touch with you. Also want to let you know, if you are not currently connected to a local church body, but you are looking for ways to walk with a group of people who are learning to walk in faith, trust in Jesus along the way, then also want to invite you to send an email to info@christpoint.com. We have a number of ways that you can get connected. Well, God bless you. Thanks so much for tuning in. Looking forward to seeing you online next week. God bless.